The series topic title is Just a Dime. It's just a dime. Okay, this is lesson four. I told you what we've talked about in the first three lessons. You can go back and review that. Our theme is on tithing. Now, we're going to begin to talk today about tithing and provision. Tithing and provision. Now, listen carefully, and we're going to be putting it up on the monitor. God has made a twofold promise to the tither. Now, we're past motivating people to tithe now. We're past that. We're talking to you tithers. God has made a twofold promise to the tither. Provision, protection. Twofold promise. Provision, protection. Say it. Now, basically, generally speaking, that should be your expectation. We're going to break it down more specifically, but you should be expecting provision and what?
Protection.
Provision and protection. Now, here's how I studied the word. When I studied the word, I am looking for patterns. Okay, God has this way of repeating himself. I taught a series, and I'm going to teach you this series on the God of abundance. And when I got that revelation, I saw in scripture that God talks in superlatives. Whenever he talks about something, it's always in an excessive manner. He talks about your cup running over. He talks about open up the windows of heaven and you not have room enough to be blessed. And then he says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken, and here again, what? Running over. So I saw something in that. When you're reading the Bible, when God wants to emphasize a concept or a principle, oftentimes you see it in more than one place. The scripture says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. So I'm going to begin this teaching showing you the pattern, okay? Showing you the pattern of protection and provision. Got it? So in Genesis chapter 15, we'll look at three witnesses. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. We have it up on the monitor. Notice what it says. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy what? Shield and thy what? Now, we talked about this last week. We remember when Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek and he stretched his hand in God and says, I'm not going to take anything from you, the king of Sodom. Then after that, the Lord said to him, don't be afraid now. I'm going to be your what? Shield and exceeding great reward. So notice here two things mentioned. Shield and exceeding great reward. So put that up there. Shield is a promise of what?
Protection.
Exceeding great reward is a promise of what?
Provision.
Okay, we see that there. Let's look at Genesis chapter 28. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Let's look at here Jacob tithe. Jacob, who is the grandson of Abraham, he vows to tithe. Jacob vowed a vow. That's Genesis 28, 20 through 22. Jacob vowed a vow and saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the what?
Tenth.
So that is a commitment to tithe. Now let's look at this text. And in this text, you're going to see those two things, two promises, two things that Jacob had an expectation for him. If he will keep me in this way, let's look at this. Keep me in this way that I go. In other words, he's saying, God, if you protect me, see that? That's from the text. And then he says, if you will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, that's what?
Provision.
So the second time, connected to tithing, we see those two things. We see provision and protection. That's what you should be expecting. We're not just dropping money in the bucket, okay? In the offering container. We have an expectation. We're expecting God promises the tither provision and protection. Let's look at the third witness. You know it, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Then verse 11, and I will what? Rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast a fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Here again. Now, whenever you come in, you don't bother me at all, because I know y'all don't want to throw the anointing off. Listen, that don't bother me at all. You come in with your snacks, come in with your, you can eat, do whatever. I'm in the spirit. I'm flowing. And I like the informal setting. I kind of like that informal setting, okay? So here again, we see two things. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. So God says to the tither, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and I'm going to pour you out a blessing. That is what?
Provision.
That is what? Provision. And then in verse 11, he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That is what?
Protection.
Now, here again, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. When you see a pattern now, then God is trying to communicate something to us. So tithers, we have to put our faith on the line. We have to put our faith on the line, and we have to prove God, because he told us to do it. Okay, we have to prove him. So right away, we know God has made some promises to us. Right? We've proven that. So the rest of the way, let's talk about the provision side. Then, do we meet next week? I think we meet next week. Then we're going to talk about the protection side next week. We talk about protection side. What does it mean when he says, I rebuke the devourer? Practically, how does that work? I want you to go back up to that word blessing and put it up there. I want you to put the word blessing back up there for us. He said that I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a what?
Blessing.
Okay, let's define the word blessing, because I want you to build your faith, because God is going to confirm this.
Okay.
Amen.
He's going to confirm the word, and you got to give me your testimony so I can share. He's going to confirm the word in your life. Now watch this. He said that I'm going to pour out a blessing. That word blessing means empower to prosper. Okay? Also mean, and I looked this up, and this was just a blessing to me. This definition was just a blessing to me. That word blessing also means goodwill that achieve. Now listen carefully. What kind of results?
Actual results.
Now, sometimes when people hear blessing, they say, oh, bless you. Oh, bless you. So for some people, it's a verbal something. Okay, it's verbal. No. When God says, I'm going to pour out a blessing, he wants you to have, watch this, actual results.
Amen.
Okay, in other words, he's talking about manifestations in your everyday life. Okay, if it's your work life, he wants manifestation. Your home life, manifestation. You're a student, he wants manifestation in your schoolwork. So we're talking about God coming down into the arena of our everyday life. God is going to do something in your everyday life. And we're going to prove him, and we're going to expect it.
Amen.
Okay, and that's when it's going to get real exciting. When we see him confirm the word with signs following in our unique experience. Okay, I'm excited now. I'm all happy now. I'm getting real happy now. Now watch this. Watch this. For the rest of the way, let's talk about provision. Okay? There are four expectations, and I hope you have some good questions at the end. Okay, I hope you have some good questions. But there are four expectations in regard to provision. We're going to look at these expectations. I'm going to give you definitions, and then I'm going to give you a proof text. We're not going to turn to it. I'll just explain it, because we're going to use Joseph's life to see how God manifested himself in these four areas, okay? And you can look up the text. Ready? Okay, now. God says he was going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Okay, now think about it. We all know no money is coming down through the sky, right? Okay, no houses coming down through the sky, no cars coming down through the sky. Nothing is coming down through the sky. Okay, so this blessing must be something else. So this blessing is number one, favor. Number two, creative ideas. Number three, provision, and we'll give explanation to that. And number four, supernatural ability. Got it? That's what we're going to put our faith on the line. We're going to believe God for favor. Watch this. God has already been giving you creative ideas. I said this Sunday. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Remind me to say what I said Sunday. Okay. Now watch this. Favor, say favor.
Favor.
Creative ideas.
Creative ideas.
Provision.
Provision.
Supernatural ability. Okay, now, let's look at the first thing that we should be expecting as a tither. We should be expecting favor. What's that? What is favor? Let's look at our definition. I got two definitions. Favor is the willingness of others to use their ability, resources, and influence on your behalf. Now, sometimes here's what we make a mistake. We think we have to always have money. You don't always have to have money. You don't always have to have position. Okay. Favor is when God moves on the heart of someone else who has money or has position or has influence, watch this, and they are willing, not yet, they are willing, we're looking at the first one, they are willing to use their resources, their position, their influence on your behalf. And it's not manipulation. Okay, it's not you getting up on side of somebody telling them, okay, no, you're walking in faith and you're looking to God.
Okay.
You're not looking to people. It is God moving on the hearts of people to bless you. Now, the proof text is not yet. The proof text is Genesis 39, verse 1 through 4, 20 through 23. We're looking at Joseph. So that text there, for the sake of time, I'll quote it for you. It says that Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Okay, he had been sold into slavery by his brothers. He was bought by a man named Potiphar, who the scripture says was an officer of Pharaoh. He was the captain of the guard. He bought Joseph. And then the scripture, the very next verse in the text says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph was a prosperous man. Now watch this. Here's a slave that the scripture says was prosperous. And it says that he was prosperous because the Lord was with him. Now watch this. And Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. Now, this is critical, y'all, because in the arena of our everyday life, not in church now, people need to see that God is with you. You understand? And your life is supposed to be a testimony to people who can't see God. So here is this ungodly man. he saw that God was with Joseph. And he saw, watch this, that God made everything he put his hand to prosper.
Amen.
And the scripture says that Joseph found grace, that's favor, in Potiphar's eyes.
Mm.
Now, watch the tangible, practical effect of favor. And Potiphar made him oversee over his house. So now Joseph didn't have power, didn't have influence, but Potiphar did. Okay? And God moved on his heart. That's favor. And now this man elevates Joseph to a position where he's running the household. That's what favor is. Now, for those that don't know the scriptures, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph. He resisted her. She lied on him, and he was thrown into prison. In prison,
come on now.
The scripture says, watch this, that the Lord was with him.
Glory, glory.
And he found mercy with God.
Come on.
You understand? Yeah. So sometimes favor can get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. With ungodly people. But in the prison, the Bible said that God gave Joseph favor with the keeper of the prison. Watch this. And the keeper of the prison made Joseph overseer, supervisor of the whole prison. That's favor. Got it? That's when others are willing. You need favor. This church, we're going to need some favor. We're going to need some folk to help us. Okay, but we're not going to be out on the street passing out things. We're not going to be saying, y'all come to help us. No, we're going to serve God. Okay, and we're going to love people and bless people, and God's going to move on the hearts.
Amen.
That's what you should be expecting. You should be what? Expecting what? Favor. Now watch this. Second definition. Now you're ready. Come on, girl. Come on. Now you're ready. Okay. Favor is things or positions you did not earn. Do not qualify. Deuteronomy 6, 10, 11 through round 12, God says, I'm going to give you cities that you didn't build. He says, I'm going to give you houses full of good things that you didn't fill it with. And then he says, I'm going to give you olive trees and vineyards that you didn't plant. There are times when God will move on the hearts of people to bless you with things. But it's not manipulation. So sometimes when people hear this, they start dropping lines in people.
Right.
I've never done that. And I pray that you never do that. I pray that you keep your eyes on God, work the word, and God will give you some things that you did not earn.
Amen.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Come on, say favor.
Favor.
What we expecting, tither?
Favor.
What are we expecting?
Favor.
We're expecting favor. Now let's talk about creative ideas. And I wanna add something to the creative ideas. These are creative ideas that open doors of opportunities. Creative ideas that what? Now here's what I was gonna say, but I say I'm getting ahead of myself. Here's what I believe. I believe that God is always giving his people creative ideas. I believe that with all my heart. Now, I said this Sunday in church, I said that because God's people are not listening, and some of God's people are afraid to move out, God has been forced to give these ideas to people who don't serve him. Because he wants it to get in the earth. Every invention, everything that we enjoy now, whether it be cell phones or television or radio or automobiles or airplanes, was a creative idea.
Amen.
It was something that God wanted to get in the earth. I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is giving people creative ideas. Faith Chapel was a creative idea. It was an idea. I never thought about being a pastor of the church. Never thought about that. It was a creative idea. This church in Columbus, it's a creative idea. God has been giving you creative ideas. Now, I hope this doesn't offend you. And you stay around me long enough, you'll know I love Jesus, okay? I love him. I love him. But a lot of these creative ideas are connected to resources. It's how God is going to get money to you.
Amen.
It's how God is going to get increase to you. He gives us creative ideas. So let's look at definition of what a creative idea is. A creative idea is a useful or relevant, useful and relevant. It may be an insight. It may be a concept. It may be a solution. There was a misprint or innovation. It can be a new way of doing things. The creative ideas is something that's useful. It is something that's relevant. It may be an insight, or it may be a concept, or it may be a solution to a problem, or it may be some kind of innovation, some new way of doing things. New way of doing things. Now, when we look at, I'll give you this because this is not in our thing. Write this down, Genesis 41, we're still dealing with Joseph, verses 33 through 41. God gave Joseph a creative idea. Now watch this. He's in prison, right? Okay, he's in prison. I'm going to skip part of it. And Pharaoh has a dream. Actually, he had two dreams. And none of his wise men could give him the interpretation. He had these cows coming up. They were healthy cows. And then all of a sudden there were some sick cows came up, lean cows came up. And then corn came up and it was healthy. And then after that it was thin corn came up. And he called all his wise men and magicians in, and none of them could give the interpretation. Now watch this. They brought Joseph in. And Joseph said, okay, here's the interpretation. The healthy cows and the healthy corn is 7 years of plenty. The lean corn and the lean cows are 7 years of famine. Pharaoh, this is what God is showing you, that there is going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Okay, that was the interpretation, but that was not a creative idea. You following me? The creative idea was the solution. So here Joseph said, okay, Pharaoh, this is what you need to do. You watch this. You need to set a man over it and allow that man to delegate to officers over the whole region. And during the 7 years of plenty, store up 1/5 or 20% of the harvest. So when the famine comes, you'll have the resources. That was a creative idea. Now watch this. Pharaoh said, hey. He said, wow. He said, you're a wise fella. He said, I don't really know anybody else could really do this but you. Now watch this. You be the man. So what I want you to do, I want you to rule my people. And they're gonna obey your word. And he set him over Egypt. He became governor over Egypt. Watch this. It was the creative idea that opened the door for the opportunity.
That's right.
Are you following me? Mm-hmm. Now watch this. This is we got to get Christians out of con games. And we got to get us out of manipulation. When Joseph, watch this, when Joseph says, set a man over it, he had no intent that he would be the man.
That's right. Amen.
He's just doing what God showed him. There was no manipulation there. He was just doing what, and God moved on this man, on this king's heart. And the creative idea opened the door for him to be the governor over Egypt. I am saying, precious people, that God is giving you ideas that will open doors of opportunities for you that you would not have apart from the idea. I believe he's giving you ideas on your jobs. I believe he's giving you ideas in your business. Here's our challenge. Much of the time, we don't see the resources. And much of the time, we're afraid to take the risk. Okay? This church, Birmingham, started off with four people. It was a creative idea. Had no money, no backing, but I had an idea that came from God.
Amen.
Most of the time, you're not going to have everything you need.
Come on.
Because it's a faith thing.
Come on.
As you take the steps,
that's right.
Then you'll find that the resources will manifest themselves. Amen. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So there's going to be so many doors that are going to open to you, so you can't be afraid. You can't be afraid of failing. You can't be afraid. Here's what I've learned about God. Here's what I learned about him. And I've been walking with him for 40 years. Okay, here's what I learned about God. When your heart is right,
come on, God. Amen.
And you're trying to serve him,
yeah.
You can even miss it.
That's right.
And he'll keep you.
Amen.
I can't tell you the times I missed it.
Amen.
I missed it a lot of times, but he kept me because my heart was right.
Amen.
I was trying to obey him. You understand
Amen.
That?
Amen.
So
Amen.
Listen, you can't be afraid.
Right.
You can't be afraid. Ain't, there's no money going to be flowing down through the sky.
That's right.
Okay? You know, I know we won't go to the mailbox and go $100,000. Most of the time, I wish that happened. I like to go to the mailbox and get $100,000. But most of the time, that's not how it's going to happen. Most of the time, it's going to happen through creative ideas that God gives you. Does that make sense to anybody?
Amen.
Okay, let's go to the next expectation you should have. The next expectation that you should have is provision. And I used to teach this one way, and I changed a little bit on it. I used to say provision from unexpected sources. But then it dawned on me there's only one source, that's God. It's really provision from unexpected means. Okay? Luke 6:38 says that give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, share what? Men. There's 7 billion people on planet Earth. So which men are God going to use? We don't know. See, we don't know. So he's going to be using people we had no expectation whatsoever. So our proof text is Genesis 41, 42 through 43. Now watch this. Favor to Joseph, right? A creative idea has opened the door for an opportunity to be governor. Now watch the provision. Favor takes off his ring. That's in that text. Put it on Joseph's hand. And I said this Sunday he must have been a rapper because he took off his gold chain and put it on Joseph. He gave him fine clothes and then he had an extra chariot in the garage and gave him the second chariot. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think Joseph, in his wildest imagination, because Joseph was a dreamer, thought that would happen?
No.
No way. No way. It was provision from an unexpected means. And if you're looking to God, God will use sometimes the most unlikely means. I mean, God is so very creative. God has a lot of ways to bless you. So provision from unexpected means. Let's look at the fourth thing. I hope you got some good questions for me. The fourth expectation you should have is supernatural ability and wisdom to function at a high level beyond your natural training and education. Now, I qualify this. Here's what I qualify. I'm almost educated. You know, sometimes I slip over into Ebonics, but I'm pretty educated. Okay, I believe in educating. I believe in education. I have a degree. My children have degrees. My wife has a degree. So we believe in education. So we're not talking against education. But what education does and training does, I believe this. I believe that we're stewards. And so building, educating my mind is a stewardship issue. To not educate my mind as far as I can is poor stewardship. Training, experience, all that is critical because it's a stewardship issue. In other words, I want to maximize what God has given me. Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
But what education and training and experience does, it puts you on an equal footing. Let's illustrate this. Stan. Okay. Right now, we're all on the same level. Okay. I believe that it's important to get education and encourage kids to go to college and all that. Your sister right there in college, that's a good thing you're doing. What college education do is it puts you in the game. Okay, you're in the game. But you're still on the same level with everybody else. You're competing. Some people will have advantages that you didn't have. They may go to schools you didn't go to. They may have a support system you don't have. So even though you educated, you still may be competing with someone who has an advantage. Does that make sense to you? We're on the same footing right now. Now sit. I'm not on your level. I'm not on your level. I'm on another level. What faith in God does, it puts you on another level. You're not just competing face to face. God wants you on another level. So supernatural ability is just God adding his super to your natural. He's adding some super to your education. He has some super to your experience. He adds some super to your training. And then he gives you the supernatural ability to function in your arena. And I ain't talking about preaching now. I'm talking about in your everyday arena, whatever your profession, your career, or whatever, you get a chance to function, whether you're a physician, whether you're a carpenter, whether you're an auto mechanic, whether you're an attorney, whatever, a computer operator, you're functioning not at a natural level. You're functioning at a supernatural level. Okay? Then he gives you the wisdom to function beyond your education. Now watch this. God will never open up a door of opportunity without giving you the wisdom to handle it.
All right. That's good.
Because he's going to open up some opportunities that you ain't qualified for. And your natural response is going to be like, man, I don't know if I can handle that. So here's what happens. A lot of times Christians are turning down opportunities. Now listen to me carefully. It's not just about the money. Here's what Christians say. Man, I don't want all that responsibility. Just give me a raise. Give me the money. Okay. No, we got to get beyond that. God wants you to have the influence. You understand that? He wants you to have the influence, because once you have influence, you'll have an opportunity to open up doors for other folk. People in the right position can get folk hired. You understand that? Just getting the money is you. God wants you to have influence. He wants you to have position so that you can be a blessing. Does that make sense? So don't be afraid. When he open up a door, sometimes you won't have the qualifications. You ain't going to have whatever. You're going to think, oh, God. No. He's not going to open up a door without giving you the wisdom to handle it.
That's right.
Okay, now we're on a whole nother level. This is a supernatural level. And Joseph is a classic illustration. Genesis 41, 46 through 49. Now watch this guy. This guy just came out of prison. I mean, God, the dude just came out of prison. Right. Listen, he hadn't gone to college. He hadn't majored in administration. He really have no government experience. And that dude standing up telling everybody what to do. He telling everybody what. Where do you get that kind of wisdom from? It's supernatural. God has done something with his intellect and took him beyond his intellect. So he's operating over in an arena. I'm gonna ask you a question. Now, here this dude come out of prison with no formal training, and he telling everybody what to do. What do you think the folk who already been there trying to get the positions think? Everybody ain't happy. Let's not spiritualize this thing. There's some folk that got the education. There's some folk that got that ministry. What in the world? How in the world? He's going to be telling us what to do. That dude just came out of prison. He a felon. He got a record, you know. He can't even vote. I mean, that dude right there, how you going to tell? But God can open doors that no man can shut. That's what Revelation said. He'll open doors. I'm not telling you winning won't create jealousy. God spoke to that me many years ago before our church started growing. He said this to me. He said, you need to be prepared for jealous spirits. There are going to be folk on your job, folk in your business ring, folk in your community. As God promote you, you're going to stimulate some persecution and you're going to stimulate some jealousy, but stay in the love of God. Keep love in your heart. Don't argue with folk. Don't retaliate. Walk in forgiveness, because God will open up a door that no man can shut. And he said, I'll shut some doors that nobody can open. This dude, think about it, is running the country. See, we read these stories and we spiritualize it. That's special. The greatest country in the known world at this time is Egypt. And he's running the whole deal. And when the folk got hungry and started coming into Pharaoh, listen to what Pharaoh said, you go talk to Joseph. And what Joseph tell you to do, you do. And he really made Egypt wealthy because everybody had to come to him. He was selling that stuff. Oh, he was selling it. And folk didn't have any choice but to buy it because it wasn't. He had a monopoly. You understand that? The same thing came. We talked about Abraham, how he took 318 men and defeated four armies. He wasn't a military man. He was a shepherd. The power of God came on him. Wow. The anointing came on him. And then I'll use myself. Think about it. Have no Bible training whatsoever. Never went to seminary. Never had none of that. Started a church. Didn't know nothing about starting a church. Didn't have a clue what I was doing. Didn't have a clue. And here God can use a guy. Who really has no Bible training and teach him, and now he's leading thousands of people. And then some folk, this is what they say, oh, you special. No. What's on my life is special. But I'm not. That's so important now. If you make me special, you can't walk in it. But if you know what's on my life is special, then you can walk in that. Because see, the same God that gave me the ability and the wisdom, he'll give you the ability and the wisdom. But we have to prove him. How do we prove him? That's not a rhetorical question. How do we prove him? Tithing, but after we tithe, how do we prove him? That's a part of it. We tithe, but how do we prove him beyond tithing? I heard it. We prove him with our faith. Now, faith is the substance of hope for the evidence of the proof of things not seen. The faith process involves four things. It involves my ears. It involves my heart. Come on with me. It involves my mouth. And it involves my
hands.
Come on, let's do it. It involves my ears, heart, mouth, hands. Come on, you ain't doing it. Come on. It involves my ears, heart, mouth, hands. Let's do it real fast. It involves my ears, heart, mouth, hands. Now close your eyes. Let me see. Can you do it? It involves my ears, heart, mouth. In other words, you've heard something. Right? Faith begins with hearing. Now I got to believe it with my heart, independent of my environment. Independent of where I am, my position, my status, I believe with my heart. And then I start saying it. I start saying, I got the favor of God. I thank you, God, that I have creative ideas. I have supernatural ability. Rather than walking on your job saying, I don't know how to do this. These folk got me doing it. No. That's your fear talking. No, you're going to walk in on that job and you're going to say, I got supernatural ability. I have the wisdom of God to function. I don't care what they throw at me. I have supernatural ability. I have the wisdom. So now I'm releasing my faith and I'm acting like a person who's walking in it. And God will confirm his word with signs. Following. And you got to give me your testimony because God is mine.